Every period in history has its own important markers. This current period is providing some great moments and some we would rather forget in U.S. and global history. It is not all good. But in our living memories and circumstances, we witness many firsts on the good side, which must be acknowledged and celebrated in real time. On the good and bad, I share a few of my perspectives and comments. Governor Westmore's and Lieutenant Governor Aruna Miller's historic swearing-in at Maryland State House in Annapolis offers hope for the future. President Joe Biden, embarrassed by his handling of classified documents, finds the issue to be a major political distraction. The House Republicans, with a laser focus on wild investigations of the Biden administration, are paying little attention, if any, to serious domestic issues needing urgent political and legislative attention. Accountability for the January 6, 2021 insurrection confirms and will confirm rule of law undergirds American democracy. I am Ambassador Curtis Ward, and this is the Washington Report. Governor Westmore and Lieutenant Governor Aruna Miller, sworn in at Maryland State House, offered hope for change, for the better, for the people of Maryland and America. On January 18, 2023, an unusually balmy winter day in the Maryland capital of Annapolis, Governor Westmore and Lieutenant Governor Aruna Miller were sworn in before thousands of people, representative of the multicultural population of one of the most diverse states in America. The thousands who filled the square in front of the State House surrounded the statue of former Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, which stood tall among the enthralled crowd. This symbol of affirmation aroused the spirits of Governor Westmore and Lieutenant Governor Aruna Miller, who knew they were standing on the shoulders of this brilliant civil rights lawyer who led the successful legal challenges to integrate American classrooms in the landmark 1954 Supreme Court decision in Brown v. Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas, a major step in advancing the removal of barriers to integration and equal participation of non-whites in American society. The fact that Justice Marshall, born and lived in Maryland, was the first Black justice of the U.S. Supreme Court could not have been more significant in yet another historic first for the state of Maryland. As the first Black governor in Maryland's history and third in U.S. history, Governor Moore placed his left hand on Frederick Douglass's Bible as he raised his right hand and took the oath of office at the historic Maryland State House, built with the labor of enslaved Africans, and not far from the wharf where they landed after involuntarily crossing the Atlantic Ocean in chains. It was contextual. One could envision Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist and great orator, speaking from this space in the shadow of the State House, a place steeped in the history of America and of non-white Americans. The port of Annapolis would have been from where the ship transporting another Marylander, Jamaican-born John Brown Rossmore, who was sent in 1839 by the Maryland State Colonizer Society to become the first governor of Maryland in Africa. This was a territory on the west coast of Africa, where former enslaved Africans from the state of Maryland were resettled, and which later became a part of the West African country of Liberia. Rossmore, himself a pioneer in America's history, was part of a group as publisher and editor who published Freedom's Journal in 1827, the first Black-owned and operated newspaper in America. These aspects of history were not lost on me, as it should not for all Americans, and particularly the immigrant community. As I stood there watching Westmore's swearing-in as governor of the state of Maryland in the United States of America, as a member of the non-white immigrant community, this day in our history was extraordinary. It was remarkable that both Governor Moore and Lieutenant Governor Miller were of immigrant heritage. Governor Moore of Jamaican roots and Lieutenant Governor Miller was born in India. And later that night, some 12,000 celebrants attended the inauguration ball at the Baltimore Convention Center. Governor Moore began his first day in office, signing executive orders, thereby setting his administration on course to right some of the wrongs of former Republican Governor Larry Hogan's administration. It marked the beginning of fulfilling the promises the governor made to the people of Maryland. His administration would leave no one behind. The Washington Report will track Governor Moore's programs and his progress in fulfilling his promises as he continues this historic mission. Up next, President Joe Biden, embarrassed by the handling of classified documents, found this to be a major political distraction. Issues on which the president should be credited with success are being overshadowed by his possession of classified documents found in his private home and in his office as former vice president. While fully cooperating with the Justice Department and actually inviting the FBI to search his home, the fact that classified materials were found in President Biden's home and office is no less politically embarrassing and distracting. Meanwhile, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is leading House Republicans on a dangerous political path. He ostracizes Democratic members and removes them from Republican-led special committees, steadfast on engaging in spurious investigations of the Biden administration. The Republicans quickly pounced on President Biden for the mishandling of the documents, even though the circumstances of Biden's mishandling of classified documents and his level of cooperation with the Justice Department differ significantly to the mishandling and obstruction of the Justice Department by former President Donald Trump of the highly classified and security-sensitive documents found at Mar-a-Lago, the situation is a gift to the Republicans. And even though Trump's actions are deemed by legal experts as gross violations of criminal law, and Biden's are not, Republicans are pouncing like vultures on Biden. Extreme right-wing House Republicans have been gearing up to investigate Biden, and his handling of these documents provides major cover for MAGA Republicans in the House. The blazing hypocrisy of the Republicans is clear, as they have no plans to investigate Trump's handling of classified documents. Neither will there be calls by them to investigate the handling and classified documents found in the home of former Vice President Mike Pence. We can expect lots of spinning wheels and hypocrisy. In the meantime, the Republican-controlled U.S. House is ignoring serious issues needing urgent legislative attention. These urgent issues include increase in the debt ceiling to prevent American default on debt obligations. On a U.S. default risks American and global financial stability. The ultimate results are hard to contemplate, but we know the economic consequences of U.S. default will reverberate across the world. Add this to the mix of the economic uncertainties and fallout from the war in Ukraine, and the economic future of small, weak economies operating on the periphery of the U.S. economy could face a disastrous outcome. Long-awaited immigration reform is urgently needed to deal with the crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border and fixing a system which has been broken for years. They have never been part of the Republican agenda, because Republicans are not interested in comprehensive reform. The Republicans use immigration as a political football and have no intention of offering any political solution beyond the quixotic Trump wall and the reduction in the number of people entering the United States, particularly of non-white populations. Remember, how could we forget Trump's sordid description of the source of immigrants from what he called shithole countries, Africa and Haiti? Republicans' anti-immigration policies fuel xenophobia and racism among their supporters. Republican anti-immigrant policies fuel the growth of white racist extremists. Long-awaited reform of guns, accessibility to guns in America, is moving nowhere under this Republican Congress. They refuse to tackle gun reform legislation. Even modest universal background checks, which are supported by the majority, an overwhelming majority of Americans, it is irrational. Common sense legislation is drastically needed to stem the massive increases in mass shootings and other gun violence in America, to stop the hemorrhage by gun violence of American lives. At the time of this report, early in 2023, there are already more than 40 mass shootings in the United States. Mass shootings over the past 2 years are at an all-time high. According to recent Pew Research, There were 648 mass shootings in the U.S. in 2022. That's 648 mass shootings, meaning multiple lives were taken in each of these shootings. And Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, experienced back-to-back 200 gun deaths in 2021 and 2022, the first time in some 20 years. These frightening data have no effect on Republican legislators who interpret the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment right to bear arms as meaning everyone who wants a gun should have one without any legal impediment whatsoever. In the meantime, thousands of Americans die every year from mass shootings and homicides by legally and illegally acquired guns. The Washington landscape is populated with issues worthy of comments and analysis. That's why I offer, and that's what I offer. I am Ambassador Curtis Ward, and this is the latest report, the Washington Report.